You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
It's Thursday and time for another In the Kitchen on KVON.
With Barry Martin and award-winning food critic and creator Jamie Brown Miller in studio.
Follow her on Facebook and engage in this week's food and drink questions of the week.
Actually true, in studio, not on the phone or the FaceTime, which was okay, but not the same.
I wouldn't even call it okay. I call that getting on the struggle bus. That was a mess and a half. But now we've both got our shots, like good puppies. Mm-hmm. We got our shots.
Do you have both?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have both? I have just one.
Yeah.
So waiting for my second one.
I'm complete. I am ready to rumble. I shall be released unto society forthwith. Gird your loins. I'm coming at you, life.
I'm not sure you're really all that rambunctious. I mean, you know, you're middle-aged. You go home early.
No, during the week. It's a balance. Yeah. So during the week, I'm in my jammies by like 5:15. We have our dinner. We go to bed by like 9:30, you know, maybe if we're pushing it, 9:45, you know. But on the weekends, it's like, woo! Like
maybe I'll stay up till 10.
No, there's a balance. It's fine. Hmm. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, with the reopening of things, and Paul Franzen was telling us earlier about some additional restaurant reopenings. Mm-hmm. Carpe Diem is one he mentioned.
Yes.
And what was the other one he mentioned?
Oh my gosh. Aval is reopening. They did a bunch of remodeling. I'm really excited to go there. That's one of my favorite places in town. Mm-hmm. I love their food. I love their attitude.
Yeah.
I love that whatever they're doing finally worked in that space after so many failures and too much try hard and this and that. It's just straightforward, fun, elegant, upscale without being stuffy about it.
I think they also have claimed the best tent award for pandemic dining, right? With the chandeliers and everything.
So cool.
Right. So yeah, so things are moving in the right direction. And now that you're getting back out, you'll have new adventures to report on.
Oh, I'm so excited. Like Kevin and I actually have restaurant reservations. Like I vaguely remember making those a long time ago. No, we're fully shot up, and so we're going to go out and about on the town. We're going to go to Angel for dinner. We're going to go to the Mule for drinks. We're going to take an Uber for the first time since February 2020. Like, seriously.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bold.
I know. I'm so excited.
Since you mentioned it, I'll forget if I don't say something. Jack's Diner, the Mule. I had breakfast down there a couple weekends ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Flavorful, spicy, juicy, delicious concoctions that they come up with.
Well, that's the difference about Jack's is that usually when you think diner food, you think like greasy, junk, crap. It all tastes the same.
I love. Let's not be.
Sure. Yeah. But you think kind of like Denny's food, right? But you go to Jack's and everything is elevated. Everything has a little bit of a spin on it. Everything just seems to be bigger, bolder. And while it has its roots in the diner food, it is something else entirely. I highly recommend it.
I was pretty impressed. Okay, so what's up in Jamie's food world this week? I can't even remember what your topic was.
Oh, thanks. Well, okay, so I'm flipping it from last week. Last week we talked about what food puts you in a good mood, right? And so I said, well, this week, tell me about the food that, or meal or restaurant or any kind of thing that involves eating that stresses you out.
Oh.
Yeah. Because there's maybe a meal of the day that stresses people out, or maybe there's a certain type of food that, freaks people out. Like my friend Lori from the gym, the ladies of the gym locker room, she said, cottage cheese freaks her out, stresses her out.
That's odd.
Well, I said, why? And she gave me a full on 6-point presentation on it.
Okay.
Number one, it's curdled. Number two, it looks curdled. Number three, it's mushy. Number four, I don't know what humongous spider eggs look like, but if I had to guess, I'd say cottage cheese. Number five, I was once told as a kid that I had to stay at the table until I finished a bowl of it. If my dad didn't intervene with his foster mom, my ass would have been sitting in that chair still. Number six, cottage cheese phobia. It's real. I did not look that up, but I hear that. And I replied, you know, it has always kind of skeeved me out a little bit. And she really, you know, perfectly described kind of a bunch of the factors why. But it does have that weird texture. It's like, yes, but no, but yes, but I don't know.
I remember as a kid, if I got like a little speck of cottage cheese on my fork when it was next to some, you know, fruit salad or something, I would lose it. I couldn't stand the idea of eating it. You know, and then as with a lot of things, as an adult, it's like, well, this isn't too bad, especially if you're on a diet.
Well, I always associate it with Jonesy's. Because you'd get that salad, right, that came with your meal, I guess. My parents got the salad. We got the Jell-O, right, because we were kids. But there was always like an ice cream scooper full of cottage cheese on the top of like that 70s salad with the damn kidney beans and the shredded beets. And then a little black olive right on top. And it just... No, thank you. I don't want that in my salad. And then they would try putting that on my Jell-O stack, my red Jell-O jigglers stack, perfect for a child. And then they try putting that. No, can't.
No, that doesn't go together at all.
It's, you might as well be putting it on fruit cocktail, like that kind of food. Yeah. Like you are 80 years old. You have no, you know, anything left in your life, but to just kind of gum your food as blandly as possible. And, you know, you're done being healthy. So please bring on that high fructose corn syrup and all the preservatives. Please just, and you just kind of like, you know, put it in your mouth and just kind of move it around like a cow chewing its cud. And that's what cottage cheese is for.
I see that you have peered into my future.
Yeah. You know what? It reminds me of that scene in The English Patient. Remember back in the day, that movie, Liam Neeson.
I slept through most of that one.
Yeah, or Ralph Fiennes, one of those two.
Ralph Fiennes.
Ah, okay. They all kind of seem the same to me, those guys that have the accent, and they're always going to go find somebody who, you know, kidnapped their daughter. But, you know, remember in The English Patient, she was like feeding him peaches or something, and he was like disabled at the time or something, and he couldn't like move around, so she's feeding, and they're just like all over his lips, and you're like, no, use a napkin. Come on. Gross.
I should go back and watch that again. That was a good movie, but
it was good.
Pretty sure I slept through a portion of it.
Yes. Because, you know, every year we try watching the Oscar nominated movies and we're like, come on, it's good for us. Let's do it. You know, so then when we're at a party and somebody's like, did you see that movie? We can be like, yeah, cool. We did. We hated it, but we watched it so I can discuss it with you. We tried that. And we're like, no.
Breaking news recently that the Oscar week is going to happen at our neighbors, the Century Theaters. Did you know about that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the movie theaters have been able to reopen. And I was wondering whether they would be able to pull it off this year. And the answer is yes. And as what I read in their press release, get this, $5 a seat.
Ooh, that's cool.
To see Oscar-nominated films?
Yes.
I was shocked by that. You know, and many of these you can get for about $5 on demand now.
Oh, yeah. Some We've been renting on Amazon and things like that. Yeah.
Some, though, are like 20. So, you know, if you're like me, I do try to see all the Oscar-nominated Best Picture nominees before the awards, which are on the 25th. I got 10 days.
I don't know if I'm going to do it. I mean, last weekend I was watching Thunder Force on Netflix, so I don't know. My docket's pretty full.
I don't know how we got off into movies, but I since we did, I got to mention, I turned on King of Staten Island yesterday. Have you seen that?
That was fantastic.
What a good
that
movie.
That was so good.
What's that guy's name?
Oh, Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson. Yeah. Now, I want to confess, I have never liked him on Saturday Night Live. Mm-mm. I didn't understand why all these beautiful women wanted to date him.
He always looks like he needs a shower and a stern talking
and
to.
And maybe some vitamins because he's got the dark circles. And
He's like, got scurvy, maybe.
He's troubled. He always looks troubled to me, so it's not pleasant.
I mean, he did date Ariana Grande for a while, so I don't know.
He's got something going on. But I was prejudiced against this movie because of him begin with, right?
Yeah.
And I thought there's no way I could like this. So yesterday, this was literally yesterday afternoon. I needed a nap. frequently turn the television on. I can fall asleep to TV better than anything. So I thought, this is the one. And before I knew it, I was liking it. And I slept a little bit. I woke up for the ending, and I was like in tears over it. It was so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there were tears at our house as well.
I like to be the kind of person who admits when I'm wrong. I was wrong to judge Pete Davidson, and I was wrong to dislike his movie with no basis for it.
Well, good on you, Barry.
I'm going to start over and try to live a better life.
I doubt it.
But I highly recommend it. I mean, I will go back and watch it again and the parts I missed.
Do it. Do it. No, it's a great movie. Oh, I mean, last year when we had the pleasure of watching Parasite, I mean.
I loved Parasite.
But we haven't, I don't think we've watched any of them. We have Minari on deck.
I think Minari is going to be the feel good
one
that's missing from my viewing so far too.
And I don't think we have any others on deck. I don't know. We've been watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That's pretty good. Okay.
So somehow we wandered out of the kitchen into the theater room there for a moment.
Sure. If you are so fortunate to have a theater room or just maybe a TV in your living room. Okay. So, Bailey says, we're getting back to, what food restaurant meal stresses you out. Mm-hmm. And she says, not counting every restaurant I've ever worked in. And man, if you've ever worked in a restaurant, there's a side of stress that comes with that dish that you're putting down on the plate. Jen Stewart says spaghetti. It's so messy and weird. I like the flavor, but I prefer a more manageable noodle. And then Rex Stoltz says, Eminem would disagree. He loves mom's spaghetti, I hear. So for those of you who have never heard of Eminem, there's a lyric. He's about ready to go to a rap battle, and he's just had mom's spaghetti, and it's doing, you know, things in his gut because he's nervous.
I see.
And I said, I like to load up on dairy before my rap battles. But yeah, spaghetti. Spaghetti is a stressful meal to eat. I mean, when I'm watching TV or a movie and I see people eating spaghetti, I'm like, really? You are able to have a full-on conversation while just kind of mindlessly twirling, and every time your fork comes up with none of those long noodles still hanging off the fork that are going to smack you in the chin or down your shirt and make a mess. Spaghetti is just too messy.
See, this is one of the things about food etiquette that as a young person, I sort of established my way of life and thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to be trapped into your conventions world.
You're a rebel.
Right? And the first one to me was the proper way, you know, hold your knife in your right hand, your fork in your left when you cut your meat, put your knife down, switch the fork to your right hand. That was stupid to me.
Right.
I was like 6 years old and people were telling me, that's stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid. It's not efficient.
Right.
It's clunky.
Keep the utensil in the same hand.
Yeah.
Eat with your fork in your left hand. I can fork it into my face with my left hand just as well.
Shovel it into your pie hole.
I rejected that. And then the second thing I rejected was the idea that you can't cut up your spaghetti with your fork or a knife and make it manageable. That's just dumb.
Well, you know what I do is when I boil it, I break it into small pieces before I put it into the boiling water. And Kevin is aghast that I do that.
Kevin, come on. No, but I mean, it's like, why do we make it hard?
It's so stupid.
Twirling is impossible.
Yeah.
And then you get a good twirl going, okay, I got this one. And then one piece flips and you get it on your shirt.
Yep.
It's like, what's the point? So cut the stupid stuff up.
Agreed. I can't remember the last time I purchased spaghetti noodles. I mean, when I make, let's say, a Dan Dan noodles, right? It's a spicy Asian dish. Napa noodles makes a great version, but I'd like to make it at home sometimes.
What was the name of it again?
Dan Dan noodles. Spicy and lots of veg. It's like a pho with like oomph. If you think about it that way.
A foomph, in other words.
A foomph. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So I break up those noodles, and they're thin like spaghetti noodles, the udon or the ramen, whatever you're choosing. But otherwise, for like pasta, like Italian, I'm just going to get some sort of good noodle that's going to hold on to the sauce and not make a mess. You know, like a cavatappi or something like that. Mm-hmm. I have no time for penne. Don't even get me started on that.
I hate penne.
It's so stupid. Mm. It's like you have to really soak it into the sauce for anything to get into the inside of that tube, right? Because it's a tube shape. Mm-hmm. And it makes it worse by having like the diagonal slice on the ends. Just no, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You make a good point. All right. your friend Fiona had an interesting take on this question.
Oh, yes, Fiona. So that's my my British college roommate, Fiona. And she says, nothing in particular comes to mind, but those bloody plastic peel-away tops, like on some yogurt tubs or ricotta, they're slippery AF, super short-lipped and anchored to the lid with Gorilla Glue, and you're just supposed to rip them off without a care in the world and not have little fiddly bits of plastic still stuck to the friggin' rim with the epoxy resin refuse to give up. Yeah, that bugs me a bit. That was a dramatic reading.
That was great.
Yes.
And on top of, I agree with everything Fiona said there. They're hard to, you can't get them started.
Yeah.
You start peeling, some of them come apart in pieces.
Yeah, a strip or something. Yep.
If it comes all off in one piece, then there's the really glued on part at the end. And yep. you're tug, and then you go goop, and it sloops out. Yep. You spill some of it. And then you got the plastic film thing in your hand, and you go to throw it away. And this happens to me 8 out of 10 times. Open the trash can, it sticks to my finger and ends up on the floor instead of in the trash.
That is correct. I don't even bother anymore. I have kitchen scissors at the ready, and I just poke them with the kitchen scissors and slicey, slicey, and I'm done. Mm. Yeah. Not I mean, it still leaves that residue of leftover plastic lid on top. But I mean, in the interest of time and cleanliness and less frustration, that's how I roll.
Good job. That's called, you know, adapting the world to you rather than you adapting to the world.
This is correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. We've got some more responses. Oh, my friend Laura says Starbucks. Any drive-thru for her partner, Luke.
So Laura is stressed out by Starbucks?
Well, any drive-thru. I think she's meaning the Starbucks drive-thru.
The process of driving through.
Yeah, and then she says don't ever send her partner Luke to get the fast food because I think she said something later in there about them getting her order wrong. And so, yeah, but I actually, my rejoinder was Dutch Brothers, like, you know, piling onto that whole Starbucks drive-thru. Have you ever driven past the Dutch Bros on Jefferson? Mm-hmm. And it is this long line. And every time I see it, I'm like, why? 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 Because all you're getting is a giant mug of sugar. Mm-hmm. And then people who are into Dutch Brothers, like they've got like their like reusable Dutch Bros, like, you know, water canteen that they carry around everywhere. And then they post on Facebook, just got a Dutch Bros. Oh my God, it's so good. And you're like, shut up about the Dutch Bros. It is a big cup of sugar and you are addicted to it, which is why you are in this long 20 car line. Dude. Oh, I've never been, yeah. And I won't go.
Can I share a story?
Please. Story time.
You see where my morning coffee came from?
Yes.
Okay. It's mm-hmm. a really decent drive-through cup of coffee at McDonald's.
That's what I've heard, right? Yeah.
McCafe. They kind of raised their coffee game back when Starbucks, you know, started sure. taking all their business away. And so I'm in the drive-through at the McDonald's. And I hear the person behind me ordering, right?
Oh, that's always fun to listen to other people's orders.
7 sugars.
Seriously?
7 sugars and 7 creams. Is that correct, ma'am? Yes. Okay. Thank you. All right. $2.19.
That's for one coffee.
7 sugars.
Why are you even drinking coffee? Just have a Coca-Cola or something if you need that much sugar mm-hmm. and caffeine and don't like the taste of coffee. Obviously.
Like, so this is the thing,
oh
right?
My God.
I mean, Dutch Brothers is just a stepchild of Starbucks because they really started it.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to get a coffee, by which you mean
dessert.
Something that's 1,000 calories, yep. has whipped cream in it. That's not coffee. It's not getting a coffee.
No, that's a coffee flavored milkshake.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Because, so, as you said, a lot of people really don't like coffee, the right. flavor of it or the way it is. If it's a black cup of coffee,
yeah.
they wouldn't drink that.
Sure. Oh, no, it enrages me and frustrates me and stresses me out when I drive past that giant line. Mm. I mean, good for a local business doing business. That's
of course,
great.
Of course.
But my God.
To each his own.
Ugh. No, thank you. Yeah. Don't want it.
All right. So there's more judgmentalness coming up, I'm sure.
Yeah.
In the next portion of the show and some food news.
Oh, I've got tons for you today.
Give me one good tease.
Popcorn salad.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's it. Popcorn salad. Stand by. More to come on Wine Country Live.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin.
On KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Let's return to the In the Kitchen radio show with Jamie Brown Miller and special guest star Buckley.
Oh, yay. It's so fun to have him in here. He's being a good boy for
yeah,
once.
Yeah.
He's just laying at my feet. Mm-hmm. For those of you who have not had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Buckley, he is a almost 5-year-old Japanese Akita. And he's very, very fluffy with a curly tail, mm-hmm. and he's just a good boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's a little bit on the meek side, as dogs go, wouldn't you say?
When he doesn't know somebody really well, yeah. But when he knows someone, he loses his mind at being super excited to see them. Actually, in a little while, we're going to walk over to Grandma's, and oh my gosh, he loves Grandma so much. He just, the ears down and the wiggling of the butt and the wagging of the tail and all that. So someday, Barry, when I bring him in here, he will do that with you as well.
I hope so.
Yeah, I know. He didn't really give you the time of day. It was just like, hi, Barry.
He sees through my facade.
Sure, but he's also lazy. He just wants to lay down.
Yeah, I feel that. All right. So where were we? Food news. We were going to talk about something. What was the weird thing you mentioned?
Popcorn salad.
Popcorn
so
salad.
So people, you know, as they wait for their vaccines, as they wait to rejoin normal life, they're still doing stupid stuff. You know, the TikTok recipe, the viral ones and things like that. Well, this one isn't actually a TikTok one. I mean, it may show up there, but this is from the Food Network. Like a legit, like, well, I don't know how legit everybody is on the Food Network anymore. I mean, come on. But this chef, Molly Ye, she has offered up a popcorn salad entry into the viral recipe world. She said it's a riff on a favorite Southern recipe, which I mean, I guess I could see that because it contains tons and tons of mayonnaise, like just an egregious amount. If Taylor was here, it would be like, she'd have to leave the room. Mm-hmm. So the official instructions advise home chefs to mix white cheddar popcorn, like I guess the pirate booty from Trader Joe's, like something like that.
Which is good stuff.
With fresh salad of snap peas, carrots, chopped celery, topped with a dressing of mayonnaise, sour cream, cider vinegar, sugar, Dijon mustard, and shallot. Garnished with celery leaves and watercress. The salad is then ready to serve. Reviewers are like, even Rachel Ray wouldn't serve this. Or, nope. A few people actually made it. And whether you or not you like it really depends on your tolerance for just, I mean, it sounds like pretty bland stuff, save the Dijon and shallots. Pretty bland stuff coated with just this glop of sour cream and mayo. I don't know. Does it sound like anything you've, I mean, you're well versed in Southern food, you know, like, or at least Midwestern kind of that area. It doesn't sound like anything I've ever heard of that would be able to be riffed upon in this manner.
No.
Yeah.
Not to me. I could well be wrong.
It sounds like a Frankenstein kind of like meal that somebody put together. Like, you know, those, the poetry tiles that people have on their fridge, like just a big jumble of words. And you take this word and that word and you make some sort of crazy sentence or whatever. It feels like that, but with food. Like you just grabbed some rando ingredients, whatever you had in the fridge and said, you know what? Let's mix that with some mayo and sour cream and see what happens. I just don't understand.
Yeah, the word gross came to mind. When you were describing it.
You know, people are just bored and they're like, you know, let's make some weird stuff and try to make it go viral because that's all anybody wants to do these days, right? Go viral with whatever it is that you're doing, your dance, your recipe, your, you know, filter for your face on your Instagram or what. I don't know. I'm just shaking my fist angrily saying, why?
We are a society desperate for attention.
Exactly.
We? Right?
Exactly. I think this is getting the wrong kind of attention, though.
You know, and interestingly, though, it's not just attention. It's the money that can be connected to attention if you get viral.
Right.
And you get enough views on your channel that suddenly you monetize and you start to make something off of it, which it's sort of like people who think their kid's going to get a sports scholarship to college. You know, the odds that you're actually going to monetize your social media is about equal to the idea your kid's going to be a, you know.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree more. And so much of this is clickbait. I mean, I'm guilty of it. I clicked on the recipe because I wanted to see with my own eyes what fresh hell this was.
I am a big consumer of clickbait. I guess, you know, it's part of the hate watching.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Following clickbait that you know is clickbait is sort of a hate click.
Right.
Hate clicking.
hate clicking. Well, you know what? Some wonderful good souls of the world will save us that click sometimes. If you check the comments in a Facebook story, some people will say, already clicked on it, so you don't have to. Here's the gist. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to send you some good karma thoughts.
Public service.
Yes, you are a wonderful person. Good job. Thank you. okay, so what else do we have? There was a funny article in a UK publication called The Guardian, and it was titled, "Remind Me What a Restaurant Is and How Do I Behave in One?" And that's going back to the rest of us, you know, like waiting until we can, you know, get back out and go to restaurants. And I think that a lot of manners may have been forgotten in the last year with all of us, you know, staying at home and having takeout in our sweatpants or soft pants, as they're called now. Soft pants.
Really?
Seriously, you've never heard of soft pants?
Soft pants.
Oh, that's what it's called now. Because you don't want to think of your comfy, stretchy, like I call them eating pants. But you don't want to think of these pants as like slobby, like sitting around, you know, pizza grease stained sweatpants, right? Hmm. But you want to justify being able to just kind of lounge around in things that are stretchy and soft. And so now the world of retail marketing has taken to calling these soft pants. Mm-hmm. So we're all in our soft pants getting takeout, eating at home in whatever state of deshabille we're in, right? So now we're getting ready to go back into the world. It's like we're moles peeking up from the depths of the earth, right? Mm-hmm. Like and the sunshine is blinding our eyes. And now what do we do in a restaurant? Okay, let's remember, let's be polite, let's follow protocols, let's not make a difficult order for them because they're all still kind of gearing back up into larger amounts of capacity and things like that. So don't ask for everything on the side and to substitute five different things or be picky. Just take the dish as it is and get out of there in an hour and a half and tip well. That's it. That's all you got to do. Just don't be a jerk.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
I'm momentarily distracted.
I could tell because you're texting the entire time I'm talking to you. It's like you're a teenager, Barry.
But you know why? There's a good reason.
Okay.
I suddenly have discovered somebody's hacked my DoorDash.
Hacked your DoorDash? Yep. How does that happen?
I don't know, but somebody in Florida is ordering food on my DoorDash account.
Oh, no. Okay. So actually, DoorDash customer service is pretty good. So contact them immediately and also change your password on your DoorDash.
That's what I'm trying to do as you were talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should we go to break so you can do this?
No, I think it's better as a public service.
Okay.
If we proceed apace.
Okay, so I'm going to change my DoorDash password as well.
I'm living in, you know, 2021, and sometimes you got to multitask and change your DoorDash password while you're live on the radio. It's just
it is a public service. Life. Everybody out there, change your dang password on your DoorDash.
I kind of feel like just deleting the whole account. How do I do that?
I don't know. I am not a tech Svengali as much as you would think that I am. But I think that we'll be using less and less DoorDash or Uber Eats or Postmates or whatever coming up as we're able to go back out into restaurants, I hope. Because as we all know that we've talked about DoorDash and all things like that, they're a terrible deal for the restaurants. I mean, they'd rather have your business that they barely make a profit on than no business whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Cool. Make sure you tip your Dasher. But as we can get back out and do direct pickup from the restaurant, order directly from them, or just go, that's probably the better thing for these businesses that are trying to get back up and running. So what else do we have? Let's see. A heavy sigh. What, Barry?
I don't want somebody tinkering with my DoorDash. I've only used it like 3 times ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we use it like once a week.
Yeah. So, well, you know. I've gotten other deliveries, but sure. Like took your advice early on in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Not to use DoorDash.
Right.
But on occasion I've been lazy and so it's my favorite. Click, 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 it's done, right?
I have a
now
serious...
I'm getting hacked. Well, I'm upset.
Okay. Well change your thing.
Bill Gates, I'll get you for this.
Because it's all his fault.
Everything.
That's his fault. Yeah. Now we are addicted to Cicasa. I can't handle my addiction. It's so good. Mm-hmm. When we don't want to cook or even deal with food, we get Cicasa because it's this fresh, non-gloppy Mexican food. Like, it's just, they've got ground bison. So it keeps things like flavorful and super healthy. I get their Mexican salad. It's fantastic. I could eat it every day. So, yeah, we've been abusing our DoorDash with Zcaso lately. I'm trying to look for food news that I can talk about while you reset your password. Oh, White Claw and Truly are going to have a moment this summer. Okay. So you know how everybody's like, ain't against the law when you're drinking a White Claw, you know, and then they have their rival Truly, you know, the hard seltzers that taste like a big can of chemicals mm-hmm. that all the ladies like to drink because it's low calorie and it's a slim can that looks really cute with your mani-pedi, whatever. Okay. So it's not going to be cute anymore. These things are going to come out in big boy cans, like the 16-ounce, like tall boys that, like, you know, the kind of like the beer can that you get like one of them at the gas station.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't, but I've seen it happen. I don't understand the concept of tall boys because your beer is warm by the time you get halfway down.
Yeah, it's like you can't be bothered to open a second can.
Yeah, I don't get it.
You don't want to drink 24 ounces, but you'll drink 16, and then you'll drink another 16. Probably,
yeah.
That makes no sense.
It's odd. It's really odd. Yeah. And they don't make can koozies in that size either, so it doesn't fit. Anyway, so White Claw and Truly are both coming out with Big Boy. White Claw has announced that theirs is called Surge, White Claw Surge, and they're going to be in blue cans, 8% alcohol content. That's not going to end well. And then Truly has Truly Extra in the 16-ounce cans, 8% as well. So yay, drunk moms all over the place. It only has 220 calories in a can, which, you know, that's you know, respectable, I guess.
Okay.
What else? Did you succeed yet?
Let's talk through this.
Okay.
All right. Here I am on the DoorDash app, right?
Yeah.
This is my account, right?
Okay.
Account.
Uh-huh.
Profile is, looks normal, change password, whatever. Support.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I click on support. All I get is that screen.
You may have to scroll up and see if there's anything
else
down at the bottom of the page. Oh, that's not good.
But you can see there's an order for Five Guys in my cart. I didn't order this.
Oh no.
There's not even a Five Guys here.
Oh no.
Somebody's trying.
Wait, I think we have a Five Guys.
Not yet.
No, it's Pizza Guys. Yeah. Never mind. Oh gosh.
Trying to rip me off, man.
Okay, so you may need to access this from a PC rather than your phone.
Kind of looks like it.
Because the two instances where I've had an issue with DoorDash, I've done a chat with them on my PC at home, and both items were resolved.
I shall proceed to that during the upcoming break at the top of the hour.
All right, it sounds good.
I apologize for being distracted, but...
No, you don't.
You know, if you don't... If you don't jump on this stuff, you know, people will bleed you dry.
Oh, yeah. I really encourage everybody to check your DoorDash account and make sure there's nothing on there in different cities or different restaurants that, you know, aren't around or that you've ordered from. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this hacking is a thing. You have to be constantly changing your passwords. It's ridiculous.
You know, I agree. We have a long way to go to solve that modern dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's got to be some science fiction-y way, like where you've seen in when they're I can't describe this. I've seen this in science fiction movies where they use a constantly shifting defense system or something.
Oh yeah, the password is only live for like 5 seconds,
right,
and then it changes to another
That's
one.
That's what we need.
See? You know what we really need is the kind of like 1980s security where you've got a key and I've got a key and we both plug in our keys from across the room from each other and we look at each other and go 3, 2, 1 and then we like do the key and it does some sort of thing that resets your password. Like a 1980s nuclear,
right?
You know, defense movie. Sure. There you go.
All right. You may have solved my problem.
Blow it up. Nuke it.
So we've come to the end of another Wine Country Live in the Kitchen radio show with Jamie Brown Miller and special guest Buckley, who didn't say a word. He he just put the headsets on and sat there and lurked.
Yes, that's his MO.
Okay. Thanks for being here again today.
Thanks for having
Fun
me.
Show. Popcorn salad. We'll try it next time.
Ew.
Are you going to make the special secret recipe that I sent you,
yes,
which is on the hush hush?
Yes. I'm going to go grocery shopping today,
okay,
which means that those items are on my list.
All right.
And so if I make it, because I told you I've got big yard projects this weekend, mm-hmm, if I make it, I will bring you some.
Well, there's no time limit on this.
Okay.
Do it when it's convenient, but this will be a big story for the show.
I know.
Because we have a secret recipe that's been passed along to us. Under
cloak and dagger,
encrypted.
Yes.
Of course, encrypted.
Yes.
In fact, there were two. We both had to put keys in.
Yes. Yeah. And use some Bitcoin.
And it's going to be something that Nappans will really be grooving on.
Oh yes.
When
if
we
you are
this.
A true Nappan, yes, you know what this right? is. You know what it tastes like.
Okay. Jamie Brown Miller, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa. 1440 AM at KVON.com.